Welcome to the Bird Cave. Grab yourself a brew and come on in. Let's go. We know that there's major needs, you know, with the Steers, but mostly offensive line, whether it's tackle, center. We got wide receiver and we got corner. At pick 20, what would you rather have? Okay, if we know we don't. Analysts and fans say, you know, center, you don't draft a center at 20. It's too high, things like that. But at 20, would you take like the number one center, knowing that that is a need, the fourth or fifth tackle, fourth or fifth receiver, the third best corner? Like, what do you guys, I mean, I know maybe it depends on the player and such, but where do you see that value at for pick 20 related to those three positions based on what the Steelers need?
Jump in. I feel like that if the top center is still around, I say make that move. You know what I mean? If you can get the top at any position, take that. You know what I mean? And the best chance of a top player being there at 20, I would think would be at center. So that's just kind of where I'm at.
I'm going to go with it depends. And the reason why I say that is because – and here's the reason why I say that, because I feel deeply, like I feel very, 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 I have a deep, deep, deep conviction that Omar Khan's not done. Mm-hmm. So, and I have a feeling that something's going to happen either draft day or before draft day that's going to flip this thing completely sideways. So that's why I'm like, it depends.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like I can see several different scenarios, but in interest of this conversation.
If everything was status quo right now.
If everything was status quo, I would 100% be in agreement with Vaughn. You have to anchor the line. Mm-hmm. You have to, I mean, it's just what you do. Like, you have to anchor the line. We've seen for many decades what it's like to have a line that has an anchor. And we've seen recently what it looks like to have a line that does not have an anchor. So if we're going to get back to our roots, we have to get back to our roots in that aspect. You must anchor the line. So yep. I am 100% in agreement. It may be a little biased being a lineman and a lineman, you know, specializing in lineman fundamentals, but that's where the game is on.
When you say anchor the line, are you leaning more towards best center, the number one center, or are you going 100%. With a third or fourth? Okay,
you gotta be right up the middle, man. You have to have that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, like Juan said perfectly. Anytime you get the. And again, we know nothing's a guarantee with any player, you know, but if you're able to get the best guy in the draft class at a position of need, because I'm going to tell you right now, they say you'll wait and draft the center in the second round or third round, like where Creed Humphreys went last year. And I get it. In a perfect world, that's what we would want. But we got the Green Bay Packers, the Philadelphia Eagles, and I'm even hearing the Dallas Cowboys that are all wanting a center. So not only is that going to take JPJ away, which I have something here I just found out a couple of days ago on, but that's also going to take Frazier from West Virginia away. And I think there's a guy, Van Pran from Georgia. Those are your top three centers. And after that, I mean, unless you really follow the offensive line, I don't know where you would go after that, at least, you know, that high. But I was reading something here. It was on Behind the Steel Curtain, and it was on a couple other internet articles that – I guess JPJ has some multiple groin and hip injury concerns that he may be dropping because of that. So he is now rated 45th, 48th, on some overall draft boards. I mean, I would trust the Steelers personnel to vet those medicals. And if he is still worth it talent-wise, we know he's a first rounder. But do medicals like that cause you to back off a bit?
For me, that's not a deal breaker. The NFL, their training staff and conditioning, strength and conditioning people, you know, they're some of the best in the world with those type of injuries. Like, that's not a That doesn't seem like something that would be career ending or anything like that. You know what I mean? Like, so I think it's something that could probably be strengthened and, you know, worked on over the years. So that doesn't worry me. Now, if it was like a knee or a back or something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm actually higher on Zach Frazier anyways. He was early projected to be a second round guy, but if you pay attention to the ones who specialize in the linemen, like the Baldingers of the world and things of that nature, they're telling you like he's day one starter, and there's no if, no ands, no buts about it. Mm-hmm. Like think about Cree Humphrey. Anybody would have took him in the first round. You know what I mean? Like knowing what you know now, like come on. Like, and I think that he's like that type of dude.
Yeah.
And I don't think people want to pass up on that type of guy. And when you add to the fact that the type of offense that they ran at West Virginia with that outside mm-hmm. zone is similar to what Arthur Smith runs.
Yeah.
He's a great fit for what we're going to do as well. So it just feels like to me, like it just feels like that's the, if we're going to go 20, that's probably going to be the pick. It may look like it's a reach to some people, but it don't matter at the end of the day. If he's an all pro, who's going to be like, oh yeah, he was a reach. Shit.
Listen, to your point, is anybody talking about the Detroit Lions reaching for Gibbs anymore? When they picked him 10th overall. Did you never draft a running back in the first round alone that high? No one's saying that. They only say that day of the draft.
Sometimes you actually grab what you reach for.
Yeah, absolutely.
That part. Just getting deep already. Patrick Mahomes was a reach in a lot of circles back in the day. Yeah. At number 10, he was a reach.
Yeah, because nobody from that Red Raider offense ever really succeeded in the NFL. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nope.
So, yeah, I mean, I'd be lying to say if I know who was better. Gabe, your points you brought up, I'm going to trust that. And I know that was something that, you know, West Virginia ran. I obviously don't scout the linemen as much, but that makes a lot of sense. I know he's pretty athletic as well. He's strong. He's smart. And everything you probably want in the center. Then I know they're high on like some of these tackles. I mean, I read a report, and I don't know if everything's lies nowadays. But they want to stay with Dan Moore at left and Broderick at right, which I think is a mistake. But I'd be if they draft a tackle in the 20th pick, we know that that's a lie, because something's happening. Whether it's Broderick, they want him at right, and they're going to draft another left or something. But that kid from Oregon State and there's a tackle from Washington. I don't know if those are more right or left. Really forget what I was reading up on him earlier this week. I know Mims from Georgia is a guy that's been mocked to the Steelers a lot. I know he's more raw than anything, but he might have the highest upside. He might have been like an absolute stud, but he could also be, obviously an absolute bust as well. But would you really be against the tackle?
Yeah, I would. I don't honestly, and I'm probably in the minority here, but I don't think that the Steelers are going to address tackle day one or day two. I think they feel very comfortable. It don't matter whether we agree or not. Like I'm just going to put that out there. Don't matter if we agree or disagree. I don't think that they are trying to give up Dan Moore in his spot. Like I think that they're just projecting him to improve again. But again, whether we agree or disagree, I'm telling you, we've seen this playbook. It would 100% surprise me if they took a Amarius Mims unless one of the premier guys dropped a little bit, like a Troy Fatanu, Oli from Fashanu from Penn State. The dude from Oregon State, Fualga. Like, if one of those guys, he would be one too. Like, if one of those guys dropped, I could see them saying, "All right, well, maybe we will." But at the same, because those guys can be day one guys. I don't think Mims is a day one guy, and I don't think they're going to take him and try. I just don't see it happening. I just don't. Even with him having 1 year left in his contract, I don't see it. I've seen them run at tackles and what they do. Marcus Gilbert and you know, just keep going down. Marcus Smith, like, they do the same thing with the it's the same playbook. Trey Essex, like, it's the same playbook.
I don't know if I would do tackle the first round. Like, if you're looking at, like, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth best at that point, I just feel like there's other positions you can probably get somebody with better upside, right, and who's more of a lock. You know what I mean? I feel like, it, you know, all those other guys, you know, are kind of gambles at that point, where you can get another position where you have a better chance of getting, you know, getting a solid player at that point.
The receiver to me is the wild card in all this, because I can also see then with such good talent, you know, Donnie Mitchell, one, our boy Keon Coleman from Florida State would be an absolute monster here. Brian Thomas from LSU, I think he'll be gone. But, you know, if someone like that continues to fall, that's great value. Franklin from Oregon, I think, is another big guy that, you know, that can play. And then I like Leggett from South Carolina, though he's probably more of a second round guy. He's like a faster version of Anquan Boldin. You know, he's a 4.39, but the guy's big. He's solid. He's got good ball skills going up and getting the combat catch, like Tom was talking about. Is there a receiver that on the board is like, if he is there at 20, outside of the top three guys, top three or four guys, that you say, you know what, if he's there at 20, Steelers should go ahead and take them and complete that receiving core?
So who are we considering the top three or four?
Well, it'll be Harrison, was it Aduze, and Neighbors. Yeah, I was about to say Harper. Neighbors from LSU. Those guys will be gone. They're saying Neighbors probably going to be the number one guy taken, depending on what scheme.
So you put Brian Thomas, Adonai Mitchell, Xavier Worthy, was it Troy Franklin? Keon Coleman. Yeah, that's who you would have in that next.
Yeah, that next group. Yeah,
Xavier Leggett, Malachi Corley. A lot of those guys for me,
yeah,
would be a so if they went that route, I think a lot it would make if they were gonna go that route, I feel like it would make a lot more sense for them to trade back. And because you can get more, because I feel like the value with the receivers, like that group, like there's a lot of them that you can get probably from like 25 to 50. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if they move back a little bit, then that would make more sense. But like at 20, I don't see it, because 20 got to be a, I don't know about y'all, 20 got to be a guarantee. Like, for what we need for our weaknesses, like it has to be a no brainer, like plug and play day one, no questions asked. Okay. Second round, you might be able to gamble a little bit, but you probably still want to find somebody who can at least, you know, contribute greatly, if not starting, right? So if we were looking at that, then that second round is where you get some. You get a lot more value. And I think if you get two twos and two threes, you know, you might be rolling with something. You might have something there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely agree with you, Gabe, on that. Yeah. I mean, it's, I don't know if anybody really fits that, or I'm saying, yeah, this dude is a stone cold locket. In the first round of that, I wasn't even thinking about trading back until you mentioned that. That actually makes a lot more sense if that's the road they want to go down, and then pick up some of the talent, because there is a lot of talent. So, you know, going in the second round, if you can load up there, I definitely think that would be the best move. Yeah. So, yeah, there's nobody who really speaks to me.
Yeah, I mean, you think about it too. The reason you would take the center, if you will, because there's the top tier depth on that talent pool is not as broad, right? The receivers, like Gabe's point, if you trade back, and even if you miss out on one or two guys, you still have a pocket of three or four guys that you could say, you know what, this is still good value in the first round. So I would agree. I would actually, wide receiver would be my third choice if I had to stay put based on the depth of the talent pool, which again seems like it happens every year, which is just the way the games, you know, the games kind of progressing year after year. Which brings me to the third position that I thought that we wouldn't talk about, that I thought that the Steelers would need and could address, excuse me, at pick 20, that's defensive back. Now, I don't think Arnold or Mitchell, Arnold from Bama, Mitchell from Toledo, I don't think those guys will be available, but you never know. I mean, you guys sort of think about process of elimination. You got so many quarterbacks that are going, so many tackles, receivers, you know, things like that, right? Defensive linemen. Could someone like Wiggins from Clemson be available? You know, we got our second, our cornerback too, you know, in Dane Jackson in the trade for Deontay. But Wiggins, Kool-Aid, McKenzie from Bama, who's that?
Dante Jackson.
Or do you got something like that? Or even like, you know, we've been talking about Cooper DeJean or DeJean. Cooper DeJean from Iowa, who's definitely very versatile in what he can do, you know, in the backfield. And is any of those corners or defensive backs jump off you, say, get 20? Could look at those. I mean, I think, again, Arnold or Mitchell's there, it's a no-brainer, but I don't think they're going to be there.
I wouldn't be opposed to Kool-Aid. Be opposed, I think, because Wiggins is kind of light, right? Like, he's
– yeah. I mean, yeah, he's a little
light. Yeah, so I don't know if that's going to work here. You know what I mean? Especially with Derrick Henry in the division.
You also have to think, I mean, there's rumors that they're going to bring Pat Pete back on a reduced salary. Obviously, it'd probably be like a super sub in a sense and a coach on the field. That might give you some depth back there. Maybe that takes Cooper DeJean out because of the versatility. I'm not sure. One other guy I like too, I mentioned this before with Gabe and Am, was TJ Tampa from Iowa State. He is basically a clone of JPJ. He's a lengthy guy. Though I know after acquiring Jackson, that I don't know if they'll look at someone like that anymore. You know, maybe it's more of that slot corner type guy. So if Kool-Aid can definitely play the slot, I'd definitely be open for that. And I don't know, Wiggins is a little light, but, you know, if he can play the slot, I don't know, maybe he can stick his nose in there, you know, and do the Johnny on the spot roll like Mike Hilton, blitz it off the corner or something. So I don't know. I mean, I like all those DBs, but like you said, it's the scheme fit though too.
Yeah, so, I don't know if I would look at Scott the slot this in the first round. That's just me. I'm thinking outside.
Here's this is where the waters can get a little murky. Okay, because I can see them being very much attracted to Cooper DeJean. And the reason why I say that is because they were very, 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 very high on Brian Branch just a year ago. Okay. And they decided to go another route, but Cooper DeJean has Brian Branch written all over him, maybe even a little more athletic, you know what I mean, version of him, because he's returning punts and everything, right? So it wouldn't surprise me. I'm not saying I agree or disagree. It just wouldn't surprise me if they wanted to kind of load up and get a guy like that on there. Because Jack, here's the thing about Dante Jackson, I think he's going to be serviceable. I don't think he's going to be great. But I think he's going to be serviceable. I think he's going to be solid. You know, like, I don't think he's going to be terrible. You know, I think he's going to be an upgrade to Levi Wallace. I'm just going to put it out there. I think he's going to be an upgrade. I ain't saying much, but I'm just saying.
Nah.
So when you add a guy like, when you add a Cooper DeJean with that type of skill set, you can, you know, not have the lockdown that you may. You know what I'm saying? So I can see that scenario kind of playing itself out is what I'm saying.